If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Haggai. We're continuing in our series on this little book, two chapters long. And we're going to be looking at the subject of stop talking and start building. We need to have those kind of pep talks from time to time. And we're going to see something that happened. They actually began the work in chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. They got with it. 1 month later, though, guess what's happened? They've been talking. And they started to compare what they had now with what they had before. This is a big mistake that people make. They start comparing to the past, what happened back then, what's happening now, and their hands went idle, and they stopped working. And so the Lord had to speak to Haggai to stir the leadership up and say, stop talking about what it used to look like and get to work on finishing my house. And so the title of our message is, stop talking and start building. It's time for leadership. So let's look at verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. That will lead into chapter 2, the first 9 verses. Verse 13, then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Now, wouldn't it have been wonderful if it just ended there and that was the end of the book? You ever had those kind of stories that you're reading and said, oh, it's so wonderful. The guy got the girl as you're reading the book, all right? Maybe it's James Fenimore Cooper's Deerslayer and Natty Bumppo, and he's fallen in love finally with this beautiful lady, and it just seems like they're destined, and all of a sudden somebody else shows up from her past. And he comes in and he's good looking and strapping, and now Natty Bumppo decides to go out and kill 1,000 deer over the next year because he's so upset because this other guy, you know how those things go. And you think the story's coming to a conclusion, but if you've ever read James Fenimore Cooper, his books are like 800 pages long, tiny little print. And but he does keep you, he kind of throws out the hook, keeps you pulling you in, and so forth. And this is the way this feels. This sounds wonderful. The people have responded to the Spirit of God working, and they've gone back to building God's house. Sounds wonderful, does it not? Notice, please. In the 7th month. Now, where were we just at? The 6th month. All right? On the 24th day of the 6th month. And so now we're in the 7th month on the 1 and 20th day. So the 21st day, almost a month has passed. And the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Ooh, something had happened. They'd been working for about 3 weeks. And some of the people started talking. Man, this looks nothing like the temple way back whenever I was younger. What are we doing out here? I mean, look at the stones. They're burned. They've been thrown down. There's gaps. This is not looking like the temple of the Lord. And so they started in on the conversation. And what happens whenever you start talking and comparing and talking and comparing? When you're talking and comparing, what happens to the hands? They just stop. So the Lord sends Haggai and he says, now, you've been talking and comparing. Is this current temple nothing? Well, the answer is, of course, well, it's certainly not nothing. but it's nothing like what it was before. We're all guilty of this. I raise my hand. We're all guilty of this, constantly comparing right now to what was before. Now, if you're going to compare with a desire to improve, then get at it. Amen? Lift up the standard. But if you're just talking and trashing the present to the past and doing nothing, God's got a problem with that. Your attitude is all wrong. Notice what else he says. Verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You see what happens, folks, is we only see right now. Right? We look in the mirror. I look in the mirror. I'm getting older. All right? I've got wrinkles and crow's feet. I've got white hair. I got a bald spot in the back. I've got wrinkles forming on my hands that I didn't have before. And I'm looking, I said, Todd, you're getting older. You're going to be 58 on your neck. That's still young. But you know what I'm realizing? I can't do the things that I did whenever I was 25 and when I was 30. I went out and cut the grass before we went to North Carolina. You can't tell now. In a week, it's all grown up from all the rain that we had. But I went out there and I mowed the back. And I was pretty proud. I mowed the front, and I was dragging. I went and checked my blood sugar. It was down in the 60s, so I ran inside. I got me something to eat and get those blood sugar. But I used to be, I would do 5 lawns in a day. Middle school and high school, we used to do 5 lawns in a day. I do 1 lawn now, and I'm praying that I get through the last couple of swipes. What's happened? The present is not like it was in the past. So I could easily sit around, I can't do what I used to do anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. I just gotta quit. Really? Is that the attitude that we're supposed to have, Christian? No. But it's an easy attitude to slip into. Start comparing yourself to that. I used to be 6 foot tall, now I'm 5'8". Okay? How many of you have lost some height over the years, all right? We all do that. I was Donald Rumsfeld, who's kind of one of my heroes from the past, trained out here at Whiting Field, got his wings, served at Pensacola for a number of years, ended up being the Secretary of Defense for 2 different presidents. He's the only person ever to do that. He passed away today. And they were showing pictures of him in his prime, standing there beside George W. Bush. He was 61 or 62, fairly close in height. And then they showed in 2019 the two of them at Arlington National Cemetery on September the 11th. Adam and I were there, not at Arlington at that time, but we were in Washington at that particular time. And George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld were standing together there at Arlington at the large amphitheater. And Donald Rumsfeld was about 4 inches shorter than he was almost 20 years before. He had lost that much height. Now, it's easy to say, well, I used to be this, but now I'm this. What am I going to do? We all face that in life. We would all love to be like we were at 25. but we are not. Therefore, I have to do what I can for God with what I have right now and not wish that I was back there like then again. Because when you do, you'll get discouraged. And that's exactly what happened. They were laboring and they were looking at the stones that used to, the same stones that when they were little and they walked by the temple, they would see those stones and they were so well fit together. And now they're chipped and broken and burned. And they're stacking them one on top of the other, and the house just doesn't look like the old one. And so they started to complain. Well, this is going to be the ugliest thing we've ever built. I mean, how in the world is this going to bring glory to God? And talk. And within less than a month, guess what happened to the work? It had ceased again. Their best energy that started out to get the work done. God did not tell them to remake it just like the glory of the previous one, did He? He said, rebuild my temple. They only had limited supplies that were there. They had the stones that were all there that had been pulled down. All they had to do was put them back up again. But the glory of the previous one was not in it. And I want to tell you something. As you age as a person, the glory is not in it. I used to walk into Sandy Ridge. And as you walked in the door and you sign in and you went around the corner, they have a picture over there near the first entranceway of the 1940 Beauty Queen. Before and after. It had her 1940 picture. She was gorgeous. Then they had her at age, I don't know what, 90? I think it was, something like that. I think she was 20 or so at the time. And when she won the beauty contest, but she was close to 85, 90, somewhere in that thing. I can't do the math right off the top of my head. But there she was, and I looked at the two pictures, and they don't look a thing alike. What had happened to the beauty that was there? Gone! We stand in front of the mirror, don't we? Stand in front of the mirror, get ready for church. Comb our hair, make sure everything's just right. And we come into church. But you know what? I'm combing less hair now than I did 20 years ago. It's getting thin. Things are happening. The body's deteriorating. As you get older, we all face it. Whenever we go through life, there are these struggles that we face, and then we start comparing, and that's where we get into trouble. What did Paul warn us about? He said, "Do not compare yourselves among yourselves. It is not wise." So here are these Israelites talking back and forth, and God speaks to Haggai and said, "I want you to go see the leadership." Isn't that interesting? Who does he go to first? He said, "You go speak to Zerubbabel, and you go speak to Joshua, and then go speak to the people." And the first thing that he said to them was, "Be strong. Be strong." Now, don't you know that they felt weak looking at this project and it's not looking too good? And they felt weak. I know there's sometimes in ministry where it just feels like it's just overwhelming. There's so many things going on. And you're split different ways and you're trying to cover everything. What does God say? Be strong! Who supplies the power? God does. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. But we would sit around, "I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. I can't do it anymore." We start doing that. Okay? We tell more people so they'll feel sorry for us. Right? That's how it works. The more people we have to feel sorry for us, maybe the less I'll have to do. That's how we think. You know what? I read about Joshua and Caleb when they were 85 years old. And what did Caleb say? "I'm not 85 years old. I'm 57. But what did Caleb say? "Give me this mountain." And God said, "Give it to him." And he went out and conquered it and got his mountain. Amen? The Bible says his strength was not diminished at 85 years of age. Now, don't give me all this, "Well, you know, remember back in those days, the people lived longer And so an 85-year-old was like a 55-year-old. That's junk. You don't know what it was like at their time. The Bible says his strength was not diminished. He had some go-get-em. And he didn't use his age as an excuse. He was strong. He was strong. Now, we all have things that we battle. I am not in any way saying that we're supposed to just, you know, become superhumans. We all have our own strengths. But be careful that you don't start comparing yourselves among yourselves and then start this. That's when we get into trouble. Number two, I want you to see what else he says. He says, stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing this temple with the previous temple, because one of these days I'm going to do a glorious thing. I'm going to have my new temple, and it's going to blow away all the previous temples before. That's what he says. Number two, he says, be strong. That's in the command form in the Hebrew. All right, be strong. Have you ever had those moments where you got the second wind? Anybody ever experienced that while running? All right, I experienced it when I was running in sixth grade, and we were on the track team, and I will never forget the feeling that I got after running a two or three laps, and we had I think eight laps that we had to do total. And I remember catching that second wind. It was just a remarkable thing. Your feet don't feel like lead. And you just seem to just have this energy coming from somewhere else. That's the picture here. Be strong! Did you see that horrible wreck in the Tour de France this week, where the knucklehead was trying to get on TV with a message for his grandfather? He stuck the sign out there and knocked over, and they had over 150 bikes that trampled on each other. They had to send eight people to the hospital with serious injuries. All right. This guy, he finally got caught. He ran away. Any surprise? Anybody standing out there with a sign trying to get in front of the TV? Look at me, Grandma! I'm 30 years old and doing nothing! That's me! Sticks the sign out there, knocks the bikers off. They all collapse and go forth. Now, there were several. I watched this. They had slow motion of the ones that pulled their bikes out of the pile, got back on it. One of them was out there straightening the handlebars on it. I've done that many a time. And got on the bike, took off running. And there were several of them that just quit. There was one of them down in the ditch that just kept throwing his hands up. Now, he didn't look injured. As a matter of fact, the footage shows him tumbling over, rolling down into the ditch, and coming back up. No bike touched him. Throwing his hands up. Never got back on his bike and started riding. But there were several of them that said, this isn't stopping me. I'm going to be strong. Some of them had cuts on their legs. They got back on their bicycle, back at it again. You know why? Because they wanted to win. They wanted to win. You can be strong when you have a purpose. And that's the whole point. They had lost their purpose because they were comparing this one with that one. And you will easily lose your purpose in this world, in this life, if you start focusing, well, I'm this now and I used to be that then. You'll lose your purpose. And then you won't do anything. We don't need do-nothings. We need people doing what they can by the grace of God. Be strong. And then thirdly says, get to work. All right? It's one thing. I watch little kids all the time. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll go over to the learning center and you'll see some of the kids in there, and some of the two-year-olds will come over and, hello, Mr. Todd. And I'll go back at them, you know, showing me their muscles. You see my muscle? Yeah, that's a great muscle. You need to be pointing here, son. You know, you see this muscle? I'm strong. I know Mrs. Adams sees that all the time. And some people talk a lot about how strong they are, right? I'm so strong. I can lift this thing. All right, would you do that? Well, how do I have time right now to do it right now? They talk. They love to talk. but they don't turn it into action. And what did God say to Haggai? You tell Zerubbabel, and you tell Joshua, and you tell the people to get to work. Stop comparing and get to work. I didn't tell you to start examining it and thinking about the past and what it looked like before and then stop working while you're comparing. I told you to get to work. And then, the fourth thing here that I want to share with you in verse 5. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Notice this, please. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Therefore, that's the colon there. Therefore, fear ye not. Fear ye not. They were afraid that they were going to produce a product that wouldn't look like the previous product. I don't know about you, but I just have something that was ingrained in me growing up that you always do your best. You always do your best. And sometimes you can look at a project and say, that doesn't look very good. All right? We're trying to fix up Brian's house, get it ready when they're going to come home this weekend. And we've been working on putting outlet covers on and air conditioning vents. And I put in one today, and then I went in there and I noticed that the two vents that I had bought for the back rooms had scratches on them. And my wife found them. Okay? You know anything about my wife? Nothing with a scratch is going in that house. I said, it's just Brian's house. You know how you say that? Just Brian's house. Yeah, like that makes a difference. But she said, you're not putting those up. I said, you're absolutely right, dear. I'm headed back to Lowe's. I had just grabbed up this. I actually got in a conversation with one of my former students and family used to be in church here. We were talking, and I just reached up there, grabbed three out of the box, and I just tucked them out. We just talked, and I got home. I didn't check them. Big mistake. So I went back to Lowe's tonight, and the lady says, you've been in here several times today, haven't you? I said, yes, ma'am. This time will be my last time for today, because I want to make sure that I get it right. And I want you to check these over, because my wife is going to inspect them. I said, would you check these over? Are there any scratches anywhere? And she looked them all over and said, is your wife a Nazi? I said, no, but she suffers from OCD, you know. But anyway, we had a good laugh about that. So I've got two that don't have scratches or bents in them. They're going to go into Brian's. But we've been working on that and trying to improve it. You want to do your best. You want to make sure it looks good. So when they walk in the house, they say, oh, wow, look at the house. We all want to do our best. But sometimes the material that we have to work with is not the greatest. And we have to admit that the blocks were busted and chipped. They were burned. And so they had little to work with, but God said, use that. And make it do. And when God tells you to do something and use the supplies that are there, that are provided, you do it. You don't try to do something else other than what God said to do. That's my point. Fear not. Don't fret over it. Don't get yourself all worked up because it doesn't look now what it looked like then. Do what I told you to do. Because I've got a surprise for you. One of these days, I'm going to have the most beautiful temple that you've ever seen in your life, and it will blow away Solomon's temple, which the Bible talks about is one of the most glorious structures that had ever been built. The gold. He makes mention of that. The silver and the gold are mine, God said. What are the streets going to be that pave the New Jerusalem? What are they going to be made of? Yeah. Not just gold, but pure gold that you can see through. Do we have any gold like that? I've never seen it. Of course, my experience with gold has been pretty limited. But I will tell you, that gold is going to be beyond anything you ever imagined. So just do what God wants you to do. Sometimes you have materials that are inferior, and you have to do the best you can. There have been a lot of missionaries that have had to live in houses that weren't that nice. There have been a lot of missionaries. There have been a lot of pastors. I've read stories of individuals who lived in places that you and I wouldn't want to live. But that's what God had them to serve. They had to make do. This isn't anything like what we had here. There was one missionary I read about from New York City who grew up in great wealth, affluent family, millionaires, and God saved him. And his family basically wrote him out. You're not going to be heading this company anymore. You got religion. Go your way. And so he went to South America and served for 60 years. His wife grew up in affluent New York, Manhattan, penthouse type stuff in the early 1900s. They got to South America and they lived in an adobe shack. And the husband said to her, "Honey, I'm so sorry that you have to live this way." And she said, "Don't you ever apologize. As far as I'm concerned, this is a mansion because this is where God wants us." He said that was the biggest rebuke. He said he could have taken a sword and stabbed me through the heart and it would have been less pain than what she said. And he said, "I never complained ever again. I never complained again because my wife made a point. God wants us here. We're going to be happy with what we have." So may God help us to take note of what God said to the leadership of the nation of Israel in Jerusalem. Stop talking and what? Get busy. Start building. Stop comparing. Stop thinking about what it was like before, what it should be. Right? We could always talk that one to death. What it should be. There's a lot of things that should be. But we have to take what we have, and let God bless it. Think about if a young boy had said, I'm not going to tell Jesus about my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's nothing. Was it nothing to Jesus? No, he was thankful. He took that and he broke and he gave it to everybody there and he took back 12 baskets full. Be careful that you don't mock something that God can use. Stop talking and start building. That's the picture from Haggai. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you'd use it in my heart. Help me to be the right kind of leader. Help me not to be comparing constantly. Help me to realize what you've given us and that we be thankful for it and we move ahead for thee by your grace and by your strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.